This is the Legacy United Methodist Podcast.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. My name is Don, one of your pastors here at Legacy, and it is great to have you here with us. I remember the first time my mom ever saw me preach. It was at college, and the room is dark, and way over here in the corner, I get up there, and I introduce myself, and all of a sudden, flash, 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 flash. And she had an old 35 millimeter, so then it went into rewind. Praise God for moms. This morning, we'll continue in our exploring the life of John Wesley, the founder of our Methodist movement, and how he was brought to faith, true faith, which in turn brought about this massive revival that started in England and eventually grew around the world. From very early beginnings, this humble spirit and faithful parents, and we are reminded that we have this God-given obligation, this obligation to make an investment into the children who are under our care here at the church. We looked at John Wesley's college experiences and his longing for holiness, and witnessed that through this pursuit of holiness that we find that the other longings in our hearts, life purpose and meaning and hope and joy, they will also be satisfied. So today, I want to share with you how John Wesley found true faith. And it happened just like it does for many of us when we realize that we can't get it ourselves. And that realization usually comes about through some kind of storm that has caused a crisis of faith or life circumstance that has beaten us up pretty good. Now in the Dakotas, we're no strangers to storms. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had a wonderful storm during Holy Week that brought about just a standstill of everything and almost canceled Easter for us. We get to experience some of the most amazing summer storms that as they rush across the plains with really nothing, you know, to get in their way to slow them down. And I'm sure most of you are true North Dakotans, that when the tornado sirens go off, you go out into your backyards to see what's going on. Or maybe you go downtown to the parking garage up to the top level to get a good view of what is happening. Being caught out on the interstate in North Dakota during one of our rainstorms is always a bit of an interesting time. But have you ever been caught out in a storm alone with no real shelter? I have. And some of the time, you can almost see the storm coming. This is a wonderful experience from Iraq. You can see that storm coming. You are just there, and the storm is coming, and there really is nothing you can do about it but turn into it or turn your back to it and brace yourself and persevere. The storms in life can be much the same way. Sometimes they may catch us a bit off guard, but I think most of the time, we have some idea and we know they're on their way. We know how we got there. We see them coming through choices that we make or by choices that are made by others that we know will affect us. We can see the chaos brewing. We know an ugly storm is coming our way. But even in chaos, Even in the storm, as believers, there is always light. There is hope. There is good news. There is a Savior. I read a story of a large two-engine train making its way across Colorado. And while crossing the mountains, one of the engines gave out. It broke down. No problem, the engineer thought. We can still make it to Denver, and I can get a replacement engine there. Not too far, much farther down the line, the second engine broke down, and the train came to a complete standstill right in the middle of nowhere. The engineer needed to inform all the passengers of why they had stopped, and always trying to look at the bright side of things, he made the following announcement. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and I have some bad news." He said, "The bad news is both engines have failed, and we are stuck here for quite a while until some additional engines can come and help us out." He said, "But the good news is that you didn't take a plane for this trip." Our scripture today has some good news and some bad news. The good news is that we have hope no matter what happens. The bad news is that we should expect storms and chaos. Really, it's more of a good news, bad news, good news. Because even in bad news, we still have hope. We need to discover the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of these demanding days. Our scripture this morning comes from Romans 5, starting with verse 1. "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And let us boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only us, but let us also glory in our suffering, because we know that through suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given it to us." John Wesley knew how to be a Christian. He was raised in it. He read it. He learned it. He even taught. But for a long, long part of his life, he did not know how to accept it, how to live in it, live in the hope and the love and grace found in Jesus Christ. And you can read in his journals that he knew he was missing something. It took some storms in his life to help him out, to let him know that his plan, the way things were going, were not working, to help him to see what God was doing in his life and all around him. Everything he did was so regimented. He got up at 4 every morning to pray. He fasted twice a week. He studied his Bible every day. He received communion twice a week, sometimes even daily. He would visit prisoners. He would visit the sick, the elderly. He even refused to get a haircut because paying a barber was a waste of money, and instead he could give that money to the poor. He did all these things, but always struggled with his faith. You know, you can lead a very strict and self-disciplined faith, but those are great practices and those are good things to have in our lives, but you can turn that into more of an obsessive, compulsive thing and lose focus on what really matters. You can do that more for the work and forget about pursuing a life with Christ. Forget about having a relationship with Christ. In Wesley's head, he knew that salvation was purely a gift, but often his heart seemed to think that he needed to seek and win God's acceptance. Wesley struggled ultimately, his struggles ultimately led him to this major crisis in his faith. In the Christian life, there is a fine line between a passionate pursuit of holy living and an unhealthy, legalistic focus on rules and guilt. Wesley's pursuit of faith led him to a big move. In 1732, the British established a colony in Georgia, and in 1735, there was a need for clergy to serve the colony and to spread the gospel to the native inhabitants in Georgia. Now, the Orthodox Methodists were considered to be probably the most suited for this kind of need in this new settlement. So John convinced his brother Charles and two of their friends to go along to help convert the natives and minister to the colonists there. But John's own journal noted that one of the main reasons he wanted to go to do this was to save his own soul. Now, some wondered why Wesley would even consider such a trip, having never been on a ship before, having never been out to sea before in his life, and this trip would be both for over 3 months. One author wondered if subconsciously Wesley believed that risking life and limb on this terrifying journey to convert the natives would surely prove the seriousness of his faith and his desire to live a holy life. Taking literally the words of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. During Wesley's trip across the Atlantic, he encountered many storms, and these storms put to test his faith and showed him the inadequacies of his work-oriented faith. Now, about 3 months into this trip, in his journal, Wesley recorded what would be the worst storm of the entire trip in the sea. He said the mainsail was in tatters. He said the waves just continued to pound over the ship, and the water poured between the decks as if the great deep had already swallowed them up. He said all the English passengers were screaming in terror, just like he was. But there was a group of German Moravians who just calmly sang psalms. See, they may have been afraid, but they were not afraid to die. This encounter moved Wesley, leading him to begin a search for this inner assurance of faith that he was missing and that he longed for. When Wesley arrived in Georgia, he recognized his faith had some shortcomings. That it had some shortcomings, but he was still determined to pursue this rigorous path of holiness. And he started that by confiscating and destroying all the barrels of rum that were on the ship that they were going to use to celebrate coming to America. Wesley was not always good at making friends. In fact, later during his time in America, this rigorous approach alienated him from a lot of those who he was pastoring there. And at one point, it was reported that one of the parishioners told him, "I like nothing about you." Yeah, right? "I like nothing about you. Indeed, there is neither man nor woman in town that minds a word you say. And so you may preach long enough, but nobody will come to hear you." While in America, Wesley also met a girl and fell in love. She liked him too, but he did not want to get married, so she married somebody else. This was a bit upsetting, and it boiled over when Wesley refused to give her communion. Now, there is a bit more to that story. She was supposed to go to the assistant pastor, and tell him that she was ready to receive communion, and she didn't do that. And so when she went up, Wesley refused to give her communion and then called her out in front of the whole church. So her husband and her uncle pressed charges against Wesley for defamation of character, and a warrant was issued for his arrest. But he left town and got on a ship and sailed back to England. Wesley's dreams for a mission to America were dashed. His heart, his pride, his spirit were broken. He returned to England in his mind a complete failure. Wesley did not know it at the time, but the rejection, the spiritual and personal failure he experienced and suffered would at one point come together to impact the world. His fear in the face of death during the storm at sea and his failure in America, these experiences played an important role in preparing him for a great work that God would be doing through him in that 18th century evangelical revival. Our failures, placed in God's hand, often lead to our greatest successes. Our most painful experiences become our defining moments by the grace of God, providing that we learn from them. Paul teaches in Romans 8, we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. The challenge for many of us is that we spend so much time blaming others for our failures and expressing disappointment in God that we miss an opportunity to be teachable. And we learn and to learn from those experiences. God takes dark moments and the failures and the rejections in our lives and uses them for his good if we allow it. If we are humble and we humble ourselves and consider whether there is anything, if there is anything in us that needs to be changed. Back in England, Wesley went to a religious society meeting. This meeting met at Eldersgate Street in London. And it was during this meeting that one of the readings spoke to Wesley. Wesley describes it this way. He said, "I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ and Christ alone for salvation, and the assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death." Rules faith, rules-based faith, imagines a God who is never satisfied. This type of faith is based on guilt and fear and doubt about trying to do enough to do enough that pleases God. Wesley's Eldersgate experience pointed out the essential truths about the gospel, that out of his great love for us, God has taken the initiative to save and deliver us and our lives, and all we have to do is give a grateful response to that. God's done all the work already. Healing and grace and new beginnings come when we let go of the right to be angry, and we miss out on the hope that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15:13, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ, we have peace with God. In Christ, we have peace with God. All of us recognize that we have missed the mark and have not measured up completely to God's perfect plan. Only in Christ can we find an answer to our sin and guilt and shame. Christ alone was able to measure up to God's standard, to take our punishment for the wages of our sin. The forgiveness we receive through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that allows us to experience a new relationship with God, knowing that we are forgiven. Knowing that we are forgiven, and we should overflow then with that peace. And in Christ, we have access to God. No matter what trial, opposition, or even loneliness that we have, because of Jesus, we can come to God anytime, no matter what the circumstances with our needs. Because of Jesus, we know that we have open access to God. No matter what trials, temptations, pain we may be suffering, we can always hold onto the hope that God has extended to us. Our present is manageable, and our faith is secure because Jesus has prepared a place for us. John 14. Don't be troubled. Trust in God. Trust in me. My Father's house has room to spare. If that weren't the case, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When I go to prepare a place for you, I will return and take you to be with me so that where I am, you will be too. The believer has hope in this glorious future. This blessed hope the glory of God takes care of our future. One day we will share in his glory, knowing that believers are justified. We have peace with God, free access to God's presence, and have the hope of heaven. And finally, in Christ, we have hope of a future. Our blessed hope is out of this world. Revelations 21. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore. For the former things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, "Look, I am making all things new." He also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." Storms come, chaos will forever be part of our society, whether it is because of our choices or choices somebody else has made. But that does not change the fact that Jesus Christ, that our hope is always in Him. The assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ should bring us peace, brings us acceptance, access, lasting forever hope for all believers in this life, past, present, and future. Since we have been justified through faith, have peace with God through Jesus. We have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. Let us boast in the hope of the glory of God. My friends, lean into the storm. Lean in to Jesus. Lean into the hope that only comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you all glory. Lord, we give you all our praise. Lord, it doesn't take much to look out and see the chaos that is around us. Lord, we can get so consumed by what is right in front of us and what expands out from that. Lord, as we struggle with that, maybe we struggle with our faith and where we stand in all of that. Lord, help us to lean. Lord, to lean into you. When the storms of this life comes, when the winds blow so hard, Lord, help us to lean into you. Lord, help us to know that we never have to stand in these storms alone, that you are always with us, that you are always there. Lord, we again give you all praise. Lord, we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.